kids are dismissed or junior church or what are we doing? Do it next week. Yeah. Oh. I guess today might be more of a potluck. That's what we can call it. A potluck message. You know, or a buffet. Only you don't get to pick what you eat. And I probably will mention food once or twice because, as I told Bob back there, I said, I really shouldn't have skipped breakfast. I'm really hungry right now. Oh, but I was back here eating my certs left and right. Oh, praise God. You know, so many things are happening in the world today. So many things are changing for people, for this country, for the globe as a whole. Things are changing. And, you know, I would like to sit here and tell you, oh, it's going to get so much better and better. Well, if you've read the Bible, things will get a little bit worse. But that does not mean that we hole up, that we say, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, woe is me. And I've had my share of that this past couple weeks. My share. Me doing it. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And even though nobody has come out and told me to suck it up, there is still one voice in the back of my head that keeps saying, suck it up. And we all know who that is. You know, sometimes he'll talk to me as a loving father. And there's other times he puts on his smoky, pulls it down over his eyes, and cracks me across the bridge of my nose with it to wake me up. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about this week is something I believe God is doing, and it wouldn't seem like a right message in today's atmosphere. But I got to tell you something. First off, everybody keeps looking at blessing it only being financial. Blessing goes way beyond finances. Blessing includes the peace that passes understanding. And for those of you that do not understand what peace that passes understanding is, if we're not at war, everybody seems to be at peace, okay? You might have your little, oh, what if somebody breaks into my house? Or what if this? Or, you know, what if there's a burglary here or a robbery at the bank while I'm there? You know, why are you worried about all the stuff you cannot control, first off? But a peace that passes understanding says, you know what? I don't care what is happening on the world stage. Even though the person, and I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of faults all the way around. I have to agree with some of the posts. 319 million people, and these are the two best choices we have. However, you have to boil it down. You've got to make a choice. That's all there is to it. And most of the time, but anyhow, let me just get back on that other train of thought, that no matter who is elected, you are required to trust God. We were required to trust God when Reagan was elected, when JFK was elected, even though I wasn't around, when George W. Bush was elected, when all these presidents, no matter who, when Bill Clinton, it does not matter, Gerald Ford, Richard Nixon, Jimmy Carter, I do remember the Carter years, and I do believe we really had to trust God back then. That's just a joke. Didn't go over very well. But we still have to trust God regardless. And one of the things we have to do, first off, is get ourselves poised for blessing. The first thing we got to do is shut our pie holes. That's that thing you keep shoving that pie in, if you haven't figured that out. Your soup cooler. And the reason being is the Bible talks about it, David even mentioned in Psalm 106, where the children of Israel were poised for blessing. But they started complaining and they started whining. And they didn't want to follow the person God had appointed to be there. I've said it for the last 8 years anyhow, that the people who are in office because God has allowed it. Your Bible, my Bible says He gives the permission for all authority, whether we like them or not. And I have to sit back and I look and I say, God, how can this happen? How can that happen? These are laws, and how are they looked away from? That's because God has blinded people to things to allow for the end times to happen. Well, I don't like it. Well, tough stuff. There's a lot of things I don't like either, and that's just the way they are. I don't like really hot humidity. I've told Angela, I said, if God ever releases me and says, go anywhere in the world you want, Hawaii, here I come. Average temperature, 75 degrees. No snakes. I'm not afraid of snakes. I just don't like them surprising me. And it's beautiful. There are parts of it. I've actually understood there's a lot of poverty in Hawaii. A lot of brokenness. A lot of broken hearts. You get away from the tourist traps, you see the real Hawaii. It's kind of like Mexico. Oh, I want to go to Cancun. Go to Cancun. Just know, so you know, when you go outside the gate, it's a different world. But being poised for blessing means we have to get ourselves, first off, our mouths, to quit speaking garbage. The biggest problem that's happening in the body of Christ today with these elections is the divisiveness. The devil can't win, so he'll divide us. I want this person. I want that person. I want that person. I agree. Now, there was a movie, Master and Commander. How many of you have seen it? I like it. I know it didn't get rave reviews. I liked it. Russell Crowe was a captain, a fearless captain. And they're going around the Horn of South America, Cape Horn, or is it? Yeah, Cape Horn, right? Oh yeah, the tip of South America, and two oceans converge there, and there's storms all the time, and they're trying to get through all this, and he's hanging out on a rope, just letting the storms batter his ship because there ain't nothing they can do. But while they're downstairs, they're having this argument with the ship's doctor and local scientist. And I'll just put it this way. There's, you know, you get these little weevils in your bread. I don't care who you are, you get them. And the captain says, you see those two weevils? And he says, yeah. He said, which one would you pick? He said, well, they're basically the same weevils, just one's bigger than the other. So I'd say that in the survival of the species, the bigger one. And the captain looks at him and says, you poor doctor, don't you know when you're faced with a choice between two weevils, you pick the lesser of the two weevils? But what we've got going on in this country, folks, is we're dividing ourselves. The church is divided. There's lines. I don't want anybody having... I don't care who you vote for, okay? It's your choice. But don't come whining and crybabying to me when they come knocking on your door. We want more money. Or we want this. Or we want that. There's been so many things that's happened in this country that's splitting us. But the church, first off, needs to stand up and start blessing this country. Praying for our leaders. I agree. I think there should be term limits. And I think we need to flush the toilet on Washington right now. Get rid of the IRS, flat tax across the board, everybody. I don't care if you're on welfare, everybody. If I had to pay for taxes on unemployment benefits that I actually worked for, yeah. But that's not what we do. We complain. We start talking about the things, and what we do is we start cutting off the hand of God from being able to move into our lives. Complaining and whining. It kept a probably several generations because they lived a hair bit longer than we do. Several generations. Anybody over the age of 20 was not allowed to go in. Moses was the only person who got to see it from his generation. And he couldn't enter. God chose the next generation that was willing to say, you know what, there may be giants in the land. And it's going to be hard. But we serve the Lord God Almighty and we will go in. We will conquer. As Christians, to be poised for blessing, we need to learn to bless God. Things don't go our way. Trust me, there's been so much that I'm like, God, what is the deal? And, you know, I saw somebody share something the other day. It's okay to fall down. But to stay down is a choice. You know, how many times, that's why I loved Rocky movies. That's why they did so well. He showed the true nature of the human spirit when there's something that it wants. That no matter if you're getting your brains beat out, you get back up. And you keep fighting. And you keep proving that this is something that you want. It's okay to fall. See, that's the problem. The church became so critical and judgmental of people that fell. I know one minister who took it upon himself to write a book about every minister that ever fell. And he wrote a second book. And guess what happened to him? He fell. It's one of the things Angela and I talk about often when we look and we say, you know what? We got to be careful when we judge. We sit here and we judge people. The problem is we become just like the people we're judging. And we don't realize it. I found it in myself. She's pointed things out to me. I'm like, really? That's what I've become? That's not who I want to be. So we've got to watch, well, that person, rah, 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 rah. You're going to become just like them. It's one thing to get something off your chest. This week, God and I had a really good talk. To which one point said, Lord, not that I would really do that. I'm not that stupid. I told him that. He said, I'm not that stupid to do that. But I said, God, you got to know how frustrated I am. Didn't say it right then. Sometimes God gets quiet for a while. He lets you sink things in. Later on, I felt in my spirit, suck it up. What are you? I know, Lord. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know my training. I know my background. And no matter how much they told me to suck it up, we still whined and complained. But when we're whining and complaining as people, as believers, what we're doing is blocking God's blessing from moving in our lives because we're no longer thankful. We're no longer thankful for what we've got. We look around and we see things that everybody else has got. Well, God, what about mine? What about me? What about me? What about mine? I see you blessing so-and-so. I see this, 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 and this. That's great. I'm going to kind of tell on myself a little bit here. But I want to show so that you know I don't walk on water. I will. That is still my claim. There is a picture of, it looks like I'm walking on water. And Justin's in the back up to here waving. He photobombed us. And somebody said something, I think it was Vicky, said something about me walking on water. And I said, yep, did you see Peter in the background? Granted, if he stood up, the water was about knee deep. But anyhow, several months ago, man, I was just like, God, I have been busting my butt. I have done what you've said. I've done what you've asked. I've walked away from everything. I moved back to a state I swore I wasn't coming back to because I don't like cold. And God in His infinite wisdom tells me to come back to Ohio. I said, Lord, I've done all this. I've walked away from things. I've walked away from friends. I said, and what the heck is going on in my life? And I said, Lord, there's some things I need. One thing I told him is I'm tired of driving junk. I said, I'm sick and tired of driving wore out crap. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. I've had some nice vehicles, but I've never, ever gotten one that somebody else didn't already make it theirs. My favorite pickup truck, some guy thought it would be cool to paint Silverado in big black letters on the side of it. Best thing he ever did was put a 350 in it for me. I like that aspect. And so I began asking God and talking to God. And he said, I didn't say you couldn't go get you another truck. All right, I'm going to go get a truck. And I started looking. I'm like, God, you know what the price of trucks are for a used truck. I said, it's a third of what I paid for my house. And I stopped and I talked to a dealer. And I told him, I said, man, I can tell you right now, that truck's still out of my price range. That's out of my, really, it was out of my comfort zone more than anything. We got our comfort zones, right? That was way out of my comfort zone. That was twice as much for a used vehicle that I'd ever paid for anything. And I said, God, I don't know. And then the salesman mentioned something. Did you ever consider leasing one? I said, well, one time I did. He said, you can get a brand new truck. I got a brand new truck. Now, here's what I need to tell you people. Y'all see all the little fine print on it. It says you need to put down so much money, blah, 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 like almost $4,000. I didn't put a dime down. They paid for my tags. They paid for everything. And got the payment I wanted, the truck I wanted, because they wanted to make a stinking sale that day. And somewhere along the line, there's some 80-year-old man in Ontario area, or maybe Galleon area, who I am maybe a great-great-grandson or something of. I don't know, but he gave me his family discount for GM. God worked something. Okay? And if I had continued to running my mouth and cursing, and here's the first thing, getting jealous. Let's talk about that real quick. Getting jealous of God blessing other people. And that's where I would start. I was like, God, am I getting jealous? Man, I'm seeing all these people getting new trucks, new cars, this, that. And I'm busting my butt just as hard as they are. And I said, what's going on? Well, the truth of the matter is, it was me that was stopping it. Because you know what the mentality I'd always lived with? You're going to lose 25% of the value as soon as you drive it off the lot. That one stupid comment kept me from ever buying a new vehicle. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't take mine back. I talked to the dealer the other day. I said, I love this truck. I said, I'm going to probably have to buy it at the end because I'm eating up the miles. I love it that much. And by the way, it gets 24 miles to the gallon. Yeah. So I've learned to keep my mouth shut. Now, I ain't saying it happens all the time. You start growling, you start grumbling about what's going on. Well, God, what are you doing? What's going on? Why is this? Why? What? Shut your mouth. Sometimes the best thing to do is just hold on and enjoy the ride. When I would ride roller coasters, I never screamed. I didn't see the point in it. Besides that, I didn't want to sound like a little girl screaming. Put it that way. Because I don't care who the guy is. If he screams, he can get high. But I never saw the point in it. But it didn't mean that when I wasn't sick as a dog that I didn't enjoy the ride. To be poised for blessing, we got to keep control over our tongue. I believe it's James that puts it this way. The tongue is, and I'm paraphrasing now, the tongue is such a small part of the body, but yet it is the hardest thing to control. It is compared to the rudder on a ship. You know? You got them great big old ships back in the day. They had these huge rudders. Today they use thrusters. But now they've got these, they got those giant rudders. And that, in comparison to the ship, it was tiny. But it told the ship where to go. Your tongue is the same way. And as a matter of fact, it goes on to say, though, that if you want to see somebody who's righteous, you'll find somebody who has gotten control over their tongue. They've learned to control that thing. We don't need to blurt out everything we know. We don't need to. Sometimes we just need to say, okay. I can't tell you. I saw something the other day and I so wanted to say something. And God said, just, you don't need to say anything at all. Because it wouldn't have done any good. So if we're going to be poised for blessing, let's get control over our tongues. Regardless of what we got coming down the pike as a president, I still think we got rough waters. Regardless. There's going to be tensions everywhere. We need, as a country, to start blessing God, bless this country, bless our leaders. Pray for our leaders. Don't talk about them. Pray for them. Proverbs says the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand and he turns it like a river, however he wants. You know, a thought process we have today is Mississippi has always run where it's run. That couldn't be further from the truth. Even 100 years ago, they've got shipwrecks that are a mile away from where the Mississippi is today because 100 years ago it went over there. And something happened. The shipwreck may have happened, caused the sandbar and caused the river to start turning. And the river moved this way, and it started coming back this way. Rivers don't stay put. They change. I live on a hill, and if you look at that hill, at one point in life, this little tiny creek that's on the other side of the road was on my side of the road. Because that's where the bank is. The other bank is 100 yards away. It, over however many years, that creek has moved 100 yards. Now, we can try to keep them in place with bridges and embankments and stuff, and roads. But we need to be praying for these people. I want God to bless this country. I want this country to be great again. And the thing is people are still dying trying to get into this country. So stop and think about how bad they've really got it. If you want to think how old, boo-hoo-hoo, we've got it bad here. There's people still trying to get here. I ain't saying we bring in terrorists. I'm just saying that we realize we do have it good. The authority you have. You're a believer. You have authority in your life. This is your country. This is something I told people years ago. I said, take charge of what is yours. This is my country. One thing the Marines did to me is they claimed everything. You can ask Kyle. We're living in the squad bay. A drill instructor comes in and said, what are you doing in my squad bay? What are you doing in my GI camp? What, they called it something else. I won't repeat here. What are you doing? What are you doing to mine? They took claim to everything they put foot on. You are the body of Christ. You have authority. This is your country. When you see the devil coming against your brother and sister, that's my brother and sister. You know, we had a real good conversation yesterday at men's breakfast, and we were just talking about the older siblings versus the younger siblings. Okay? And, you know, there was two of us older, and one was the baby of the family. And But what was pointed out, though, at the, when we finally did agree with one thing, though, when it came down to the end, nobody picked on your little brother and sister but you. You didn't mess with their little brother or sister. That was their job. And they were going to hurt you in a semi-right relationship. And that's the way we should be with each other. When we hear that somebody's going through a rough time, if God gives you words to speak to them, call them, talk to them. And don't go getting weirded out. People are calling you. I had that happen one time. Why are these people calling me? They haven't seen you in 6 months. They're wanting to know, are you okay? You just kind of... Well, they shouldn't be calling me. I don't want them calling me. Well, I'm sorry. They're concerned for you. Periodically, we need to... Hey, how you doing? It's not just my job. We were talking about something, Phil and I, the other day, and just about how when somebody sees something, they think it's somebody else's job to do. Richard, thank you for picking up those rocks. He came in, parked his car, went over, and moved some of the big rocks. Do you know how many people think that that's just my job or just Phil's job? That's bogus. Whose church is this? Say mine. There you go. It's not mine. I don't own this. That's the hilarious part. People think I own this. I do not own this building. I signed for it, but I do not own it. I cannot sell it. There are laws in place that say where the money has to go. It's not mine. I am the caretaker. I am the authority in it. What I say goes. You need to take possession, your brothers and your sisters, your church. Devil, you're not having them. Your prayer time, your time. This is something else I'm going to hit on here in a second. You as a believer have authority. One of the greatest things, I think I mentioned it last week, where Jesus was talking about, he was walking down the road and a centurion stopped by. He says, I want you to pray for my servant. And Jesus said, well, let's go to your house. He said, no, my Lord. He says, I'm not worthy that you'd come under my roof. But I am a man of authority, and I understand it. And all you have to do is tell, speak to that sickness, and it will leave. And Jesus stopped what he was doing, turned around to the crowd that was following him, and he said, I'm telling you right now, folks, I've been all over Israel, and here's the greatest man of faith I've ever found. A Gentile. This man on the horse, whom you hate, is the greatest man of faith I have found in all of you. And Jesus said, so be it. And his servant was healed from that moment on. I understand the authority he's talking about. Because it's what Jesus, he said. He said, I say to this private, come here. That private comes there. And if I tell him to go do something, he goes and does it. And I will tell you right now, there will be people who will challenge. There will be things that will challenge your authority. I couldn't believe it the first time I actually had somebody challenge my authority. I was like, are you kidding me? You've been in the Marine Corps how long and you're going to pull this little stunt? A 6'2" man hiding in a little gap this wide, this deep. He didn't realize those size 12 gunboats he wore were sticking out and I could see him. But we had our words. And when he left, he came to my desk and shook my hand because I didn't back down. Now, I know people went, well, Pastor, why aren't you, You talk of all this great talk about authority and all this stuff. The church is a totally different thing than the Marine Corps. In the Marine Corps, I could send them to jail. They weren't going anywhere. There's so many other factors I have to take into consideration. But you, as a believer in your life, you've got authority over your children, no matter how old they get. I got authority over my children. I can pray for them. If the devil's coming at them, I can pray for them. And I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes to my children, you've heard me pray for some people, and sometimes it gets a little violent. Think about my children. You don't attack my children. Doggone it, I'll ask God to put me in the spiritual realm so I can fight. You don't touch my children. You have authority. Start using it. You have authority over this whole thing. I believe the reason why we're not seeing hate groups rise up is because people are praying. People are taking a stand. Because I sit back and I say, God, how? I even have a friend who lives in Missouri who got wind, because I think his son is a police officer in St. Louis, and they got wind that there was going to be trouble in Ferguson again. They were getting their weapons. Okay? They were going to go stop the protesters this time. If we do not pray, there's going to be serious bloodshed in this country. And everybody's going to be doing this. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's as much our fault because we quit praying for them. Man, I don't like black people. I don't like Asians. I don't like Indians. I don't like this. You know what? Shut your pie hole. Man, bless God, we all came from Adam and he wasn't a white man. Jesus wasn't white. Did you know that? Jesus wasn't a white man. He was a brown man. Didn't have blue eyes. Do you know that? No blonde hair. Every real Jew I've ever seen come from that area, they've got black hair and usually got brown eyes. And if they got any other color hair, it's because it came out of a bottle. My ancestors, well, apparently there's a lot of redheads in my ancestry because beard grows out a quarter inch and it's red. I got a lot of redheaded stepchildren. No. No, I do not. I've got a lot of redheaded nephews and nieces. Yeah, I have no stepchildren. Although they'd be yours. If they're stepchildren, they'd have to be from... Yeah, no, anyhow. So as we're poising ourselves for blessing, quit complaining, start blessing God. Take authority of the country. Take authority of what you've got in your life. Now, on to business. The devil can't make you bad. What's he do? He makes you busy. You quit praying. You quit reading. You quit seeking God. You quit listening to God. You do all those things. Well, God, why aren't you talking to me? It's kind of the same reason I kind of brought up an accusation to my wife years ago when I got a motorcycle. And she walked out of the garage and said, "You're spending time with the wrong woman." Okay. Pushed the garage door button down, went in and cleaned up, and spent time with my wife. You want to know why you're not hearing from God? You're not spending time with Him. By the way, God doesn't always expect you to be laying prostrate on the floor weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. You know when God talked? I think this is hilarious because of Jesus' background. God talks to me when I'm in my workshop. Because 9 times out of 10, he's the only thing I can hear over the power saws or the planers and all that stuff going on. And I can hear him speak to me. We have gotten to a point where we're so busy in life anymore. Everything is taking precedence. We want to be the forefront of your attention. Everything. I'm not kidding you, folks. Everything wants all of your attention. And it'll scream louder. They'll offer the best this, this, and this. When I had my bike, I remember the urge. And people thought, we're going to go riding Sunday. You want to go? Well, I got church. Oh, can't you skip church? I won't. I can. I won't. I put a line. I'm not going to do that. I enjoy the bike for me. And by the way, it was another great time for God to talk to me. Because the only thing going through my mind was a few bugs, the wind. But I've shared with you in the past about some changes I thought needed made. And I will build another one. Peter Fonda's not the only one allowed to have a cool bike. But our busyness takes us away from God. We can get busy doing church stuff. I was talking to a minister the other day who he just moved back or moved into the area, and he said, let me know if you hear of any churches open. Wow. I mean, not having grown up in a denominational type setting, they do rotate their preachers in and out. You get used to one, you like one, well, hey, we're going to move him. You're too comfortable with him. And he told me, he was just asking about, he's got a minister renting the upper part of his house from him, and who I think they're looking for a church to preach at too. And I told him, I said, you know, years ago, I said, I met this, I only know him through the ministerial association. I said, I went to one meeting, and a brother that I really respect in the Lord, I said, he was the president at the time, and I asked him, I said, they start talking about all this. I said, is the whole point of this just to give me something else to do? He looked over at me, he said, pretty much. I said, then I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't need something else to do. I need to be where God wants me. I need to do what God wants me to do. Not what somebody else is saying, it's your turn. I told him, I said, I got your back. You need prayer, I'm here. You need somebody to talk to, I'm here. But I'm not going to do monkey drills, which I know that term just went over probably 90% of your heads. They're marching formations that the military does that do absolutely nothing but show off. Make you look like you're doing something. That's all they do. They're fancy. You know, even the silent drill teams throwing their rifles in the air, catching them, doing all that. It's monkey drills. It's cool. But I'll be honest with you. When we were practicing assaults and stuff like that, I don't remember throwing my weapon. I did drop it one time in the bottom of the pool. And in my own defense, they didn't give me the class on how to swim with a weapon and a pack and boots and a vest and a helmet. I came in on the end of another class that was guys who didn't make it. And they said, here, jump off the diving board. Pool was 20 feet deep. And I had to take my rifle off and get it off my pack, and I dropped it. Yeah, that was my first butt chewing at Paris Highway. One of many. But our faith, ladies and gentlemen, you need to have your faith strong now. I've been preaching for 15 years about faith. You have got to have your faith strong now. You've got to believe. And I've been telling people for years and years now, I believe we're going to see the setup of the one world government. There will be believers here. Okay, Revelation talks about that. There will be those who are on the altar. Their blood is crying out for vengeance. And there are those who have been martyred during this time. There's all kinds of people got theories on it. All I've been saying is, I think we're going to see a lot more than, poof, we're all gone. The Bible tells too much stuff for us to look for to just take us out of here. To beware. The children, and let me encourage you in this. Since we are kind of talking about blessing and faith, the children of Israel, you need to understand, when they were in Egypt as slaves, and Moses came on the scene, and he starts doing these signs and wonders before God, all of Egypt. What you don't always pay attention to is the fact that Israel did not partake. Israel did not partake of the darkness. Israel did not partake of the frogs, of all the other stuff, the blood. God took care of Israel. The only plague they were susceptible to was death of the firstborn. That's where we get the Passover. That's where they put the blood over on the side post and the lintel of the door. They marked it. And the reason being is their firstborn, Israel's firstborn, his time wasn't to die yet. Jesus Christ was Israel's firstborn. He's the Son of God. Okay? He represented the Lamb, the whole thing. Sit down and look at it. Israel's firstborn was not to die yet. But God protected them. As a matter of fact, so much so that when they left, the Bible says that there wasn't a feeble one among them. There wasn't old ladies and old men who needed to be carried out, hobbling around on crutches and canes. Man, I bet you they were dancing and hooting and hollering and shouting. They weren't quite as feeble as we get. I mean, stop and think about it. You've got Joshua and Caleb, 20 years old. A few years later, like 60, Caleb says, God, you promised me a mountain. I want my mountain now. He's 80 years old, telling God, I'm going to go fight. I love watching these. One of them was Braveheart. But movies like that, where you've got these old clansmen and these older men in there, they're leading battles. They're not hiding. They're leading in the fight. Oh, yeah, sure, the young bucks coming up, they push through, and there's a time to learn to let the young bucks make the hole. I'm learning that. But in all battles, they need to see the strength and wisdom of the older generations leading, not cowering. Not saying, oh, just let them have it. Well, what the heck did you fight for? Why did you fight? I'm not willing to let my country go to hell in a handbasket just because I don't want to pray for whoever becomes leader. becomes the president, I have to pray. That's all there is to it. There's been several presidents I didn't like. But I had to pray for them. And there's been presidents that I loved just to find out they did things that actually have been more of a pain in my butt. I understand why things were enacted, but the problem is as soon as you enact those things, they become a little bit bigger and a little more control, and now we are in where we are, not all because of Obama, but because of national security. We are sitting in days in which the church will become blessed. But the church is not going to become blessed just because we say, well, we're the church. We should automatically be blessed. We got to be doing what God has said to do. And that means being in touch with other human beings. There is no hermitism in the body of Christ. We don't hole up in our bedroom. Phil, would you shut that thing off? All you got to do is push the button, or Pat, whoever knows how to operate it. It's just going to cycle. And there you go. Thank you. I see everybody's faces light up. It's like, oh, they got the revelation. Oh, no. God knows what's going on. He needs us to be in places where we need to be to talk to people because they have a call. I don't believe there's one person on this planet who's alive without a purpose for God. Whether they answer it or not is immaterial. Because God gives life. We'd like to say that it's just an automatic thing. Well, for crying out loud, over the course of 15 years, we had 3 children? 10 years? Is that how? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It felt like 15. No. Yeah. But anyhow, yeah, spanned apart, they were. And sometimes God's plans don't always work out with mine. He shakes the tree. Some fruit falls off. What you need to understand in each instance of that fruit, they're seeds. Every tree that produces a seed, when it falls to the ground, it has the potential for more fruit. Times of pruning, they're required. I got this huge apple tree. I know as soon as I prune it, it's going to start producing better apples, bigger ones. But right now, I'm feeding so many apples that it can't produce good, really, really good ones. And they're great flavored. And just as I was telling you earlier on myself, God corrects us. He loves us. The Bible says in Proverbs that if we spank our children, we drive foolishness from them. He loves us. Therefore, He drives foolishness from us. Things that we're holding on to, it's foolishness. Hatred, fear, contempt. All this stuff we try to hold on to. Well, it's my baby. I don't want to let go of this. You've got to let go. It's not for just your sake. I didn't give up the hatred and things of things that I had because I wanted to feel better. I mean, man, I got a rush off of that anger. That's why you hold on to it. I got rid of it so that my son and all my other sons don't have to deal with it. They can see Dad let go. My grandchildren. I did it for them. Personally, I lived with it so long I couldn't even identify it. And it took some discipline from God to say, hey, this is what you're doing. Well, we can sit here and we can make excuses why we do stuff. I got a belly button too. And it's as good as yours. Serves no purpose. absolutely worthless. So why are you holding on to the stuff you're holding on to? Let it go. Like I said, certain scenarios would pop into my head and I just start feeling the contempt I had towards a person or the anger, the rush of adrenaline, oh man, it's great. I know why the Hulk would bulk up. It makes you want to hurt somebody. You got to let it go. Don't think just because we're the body of Christ that we get a free pass from what's going on. We partake. If the earth is going through a hard time, we're going to experience a little bit of it, but we have to trust God. I believe God would, if we got down to where there was no food, God would bring birds with food. And then when the birds quit bringing food, we want to eat the bird. That's all there is to it, unless it's a buzzard. And then I'm going to question him where he got the food from. But God will take care of us if we will learn to control things. Take authority over your own life. The Bible tells us to cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. You know why? Because the devil is sitting there whispering lies to you all the time. Oh, your spouse is gone for a little bit. Oh, they're 10 minutes late. You're cheating on me. That lying no good dog. Maybe he's not. Maybe he had a flat tire. Maybe he just led somebody to the Lord. Maybe he just saved somebody's life. Just maybe you need to quit listening to what the devil's telling you. They're dead. Really? We need to cast down every thought, every imagination, every word, every demon in hell. You need to understand, they know truth, but they twist it into a lie. That's what you got to understand. There will be truth, but it's a lie. Yeah. Jesus, look at the devil. Jesus went out to be tempted. The devil's saying, doesn't the word say that if you jump off this, the angels won't let you stub your toe? Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He knew the word, he knew the truth, but he twisted it and was trying to get Jesus to perform magic tricks. And I think that's where a majority of the church has gotten into today. We got to see magic tricks happening. Listen, one thing I don't believe every sickness is because there's a demon. No. My knee is not messed up because there's a demon in my knee. My knee's messed up because I twisted it fast roping. That's why it's messed up. Yeah, there's got to be something holding it out. Well, maybe God's got something coming for me for it. I don't know. But what I do know, God's in charge. Who was it? God is in control. What was that? Twyla Paris. Years and years ago. Sang a song called God is in Control. And there was a time I even kind of agreed with somebody that said, oh, if God's in control, boy, he's doing a bad job. God knows. God knew what was going to happen when Satan fell. He knew what was going to happen when Adam bit on the bait. He knew what was going to happen when Jesus died. He knew what was going to happen the day I was born. He knew what was going to happen when I was 16, 19, 25. He knew every day, every minute of my life. And he knows yours. That's why the Bible says that he knows the number of hairs on your head. God knows all of this. God is indeed in charge. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows why things are going to happen. He knows why this country has gone the route it's gone. And I believe it's so that the Bible can be fulfilled. That all prophecy in the Bible can now be fulfilled. So don't sit and worry, because it does you absolutely no good. Which, by the way, is a commandment from God himself, from the very lips of God, not on a stone. Jesus said, do not worry. That's the same as thou shalt not worry. Right? Thou shalt not worry. Be happy. But you're not going to get anywhere stressing out about stuff you're not changing. It's not happening. Do what you can do. If God tells you things you're to do, you do them. Otherwise, you follow God's leading. Well, I don't know how to follow that. I've taught on it several times, and I really don't have time to go into it today on a full-blown message. But here's the one thing I will tell you. Follow the peace. Okay? And by the way, sometimes the peace isn't getting out of the turmoil. That's what a lot of people think. You know, the guys in Vietnam, those little base camps out in the jungle, they had a little bit of peace when they were back. Just a little bit. They'd come in, there were a group of guys doing patrolling and doing guard duty for them. They could come in, shower, eat, relax a little bit. There was a little bit of peace. But when they were in the jungle, there was no peace. They were on high alert the whole time. You can say, well, Lord, get me out of the battle. He'll take you to a base camp in the middle of the battle. It's still going on around you. You can get a little bit of R&R. But peace isn't about, well, just take me completely away, cow gone. No, it's not happening. You're not going to get away from battles. You're a human being. It's part of our life. We adapt, we overcome. It's what we do. We adapt to the will of God. And sometimes the will of God... I'll end with this. So many people today are still stuck on, well, that's not in the Bible. Do you know how many things aren't in your Bible? When God says he's going to do a new thing, it's because it's not in your Bible. It's a new thing. Well, I don't know how God's going to get me from point A to point B. Well, God sends a guy along in a limo. Brother, there were no limos in the Bible. I'm not getting in a limo. Are you dumb? As the saying goes, how dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? Of course there weren't. But neither do we use donkeys and camels. So get in the stinking limo and go. God's taking you there in style. Because it might be, well, in Paul's case, God brought him into Rome on a ship of Alexandria, which was a glory. It was like a cruise ship. And he had nice clothes. He had gold. He had money. He rented a condo in downtown Rome. And he was there, and then they killed him. Think about it. However, if I see a limo coming to pull up to pick me up, I'm now going to be thinking about that. God, I'm not going to take us to my execution, am I? Well, if I am, we're going to enjoy the ride. I want to drive. All right, let's stand. Like I said, today, I had something entirely worked out. But I think God just opened the door for a little potluck. Because I know there's a lot of things facing a lot of you. You got different worries. You got things you're thinking about. Some of you are worrying about your kids. Stop it. Just stop. You've got to put them totally in God's hands. You can think about them. Say, God, is there something I can do? Is there something you want me to do? If there's nothing you can do, say, well, God, they're totally in your hands. You know? While My brothers weren't my children. When they went to the desert, I had a hard time letting them go. And it's not because I wanted to control them. It was because it was the heart of a father. Because I was a father at the time. And in my opinion, they should never have had to go on. That was my fight. But our president backed down. More concerned about his political career. Oh well, it is what it is. And I had to learn to let go. God, I can't protect them. Because remember what I said. The older siblings will beat the snot out of you. But nobody else has a right to hurt you. And that's the way I've learned that Jesus Christ is. He calls us brother, sister. If somebody's coming after you, trying to hurt you, he's not going to let them. Now, you always let them, if they can fight, you let them fight for a little bit, see what they can do themselves. Let them have a little bit of their own glory. And then when it starts turning south, you step in. But Jesus isn't always there. Just as Peter found out when he was walking on the water, just a slight moment of changing his focus to the water versus the Lord, all he had to do was cry out, and Jesus, it says instantly he was there. Immediately he was there. And he pulled him out. He'll do the same thing for you. If you get in a little bit over your head, maybe you're like me and you talk a pretty good talk, and you know, I mean, I'm just praying that when the opportunity comes, it's not rough seas, because that's going to put my faith to work. It's a good talk, but what are you going to do when the moment comes? You going to get out of the boat? You're going to sit in a boat like the other 11 cowards. I saw one man of faith. That's what I saw. It was little, but that's all Jesus said you got to start off with. Little. We'll talk about seeds of faith later. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your relationship with us. We thank you for sending Jesus, that we could become that. We could become your sons and your daughters. Therefore, making us brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you are merciful to us. You are kind and you're loving. And that when we need you, you're right there. But Lord, even at times when we think you're being mean to us, understanding now from the role of a father, that sometimes I have to discipline my children. And that they will eventually see how I was loving them. And that we will see how you were loving us. Father, I thank you. I thank you for that revelation. I thank you for your wisdom. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I know things aren't always running smooth in their lives. I know there's turmoil. I know things are sketchy in some of their lives, Father, and the devil's throwing things at them. But Lord, first off, those who are seeking you, guide them, lead them, Father. Father, and doors that you've opened, leave them open, Father, and doors that the devil is trying to open, you shut. I bless these people, Father, as they go about this week. Lord God, I know that as they trust you, you will lead them and guide them in all truths. In Jesus' name, amen. My thing. No, I didn't eat them all, but they're up there in my...